Well, I'm so glad we are in the presence of the Lord. The Bible says, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So let's rejoice and be glad in the day the Lord has made for us today. Heavenly Father, we thank you and bless you today. We thank you for your goodness to us throughout this year of 2018 and many, many years before. We thank you for your faithfulness over the years to us. And we thank you for how you have shown us mercy upon mercy all the days of our lives. Your loving kindness and mercy have followed us. And we are so blessed today to be in your presence and to open your word. And Lord, we commit our hearts to you. We pray that your Holy Spirit, the teacher, will take over and instruct us the truths you want us to learn today. And that, Lord, you will accomplish your divine purpose in each of our lives. For we are so grateful to have you as our God, as our Lord, as our King, as our ruler, the one who has planned a wonderful future for us, a future that is indescribable. Nothing on earth compares to that future. And so, Lord, we rejoice. And I surrender myself to the authority of your Holy Spirit, that he will speak your word through me and accomplish the purpose for which you have given us life today, to be gathered here in your presence. We pray all these things in the precious and powerful name of Jesus our Lord, who is now seated at your right hand, interceding for us, so that we may be saved to the uttermost. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Follow me. That was the invitation given by Marsha Applewhite, self-appointed leader of the Heaven's Gate cult. Some of you may remember his story. He promised to those who become his disciples that he would teach them how they could move on to a higher level of life in a new world. What a mouth-watering promise. Well, sincere but gullible men and women heeded his call. They left families, friends, homes, and jobs to live and work together and to obey their leader's instructions. Those 38 disciples followed him even when he told them to commit suicide. He said they will be liberated from terrestrial bondage and enter into an exalted state of being. In March 1997, over two decades ago, they followed their leader to death and eternal loss. Well, as we continue our study of the profound, powerful, and practical prophetic book of Malachi, we will be given today a clear picture of the right leader to follow and the wrong leader not to follow. In other words, the Bible will present to us a vivid contrast between a true messenger of God whose teaching and conduct in life point people to God and a false messenger whose teaching and bad example in life sadly lead God's people to spiritual ruin, like we heard in the story before our message today. So this brings me to the main idea of the message God has given me from his word today to deliver to you at this precious hour in your life and my life. So please, I want you to listen carefully to it, not just with your head, but more importantly with your heart, where the Holy Spirit is what? Eager and enthused to plant the seed of God's lasting and life-changing truth In order to do what? In order to change genuine born-again Christians among us here today more into the glorious image of Jesus Christ, who is the Lord and the leader of the church, and to convict unbelievers of their sin of unbelief, patiently and purposely leading them to genuine repentance and personal saving faith in Jesus Christ, who is the first and the friend of sinners. So here's our message in a nutshell. Please, I humbly implore you to pay very close attention to it, not with an open heart and with an open mind. Willing to do what? Willing to hear it and heed it. So here's the message for us today. The true messenger of God is one who is committed to the teaching of the truth of God and allowing it to transform his own life with the result of turning many from sin to God. I repeat, the true messenger of God is one who is committed to the true, to the teaching of the truth of God and allowing it to transform his own life with the result of turning many from sin to God. Folks, friends, faithful followers of Christ among us here today, and fellow believers in the fold and flock, fellowship and family of God, the Bible is going to vividly and visually depict for us a sharp contrast between godly priests and ungodly priests whose lives respectively affected God's people positively as well as negatively. Using Levi as the representative of a godly priest, a true messenger of the Lord, the Bible glowingly and gloriously gives us the spiritual qualities that define a true messenger of God and the result of his life and ministry. Then the Bible will clearly and convincingly also show us that the priests in Malachi's day departed radically from the way of life they were supposed to follow. Their radical departure from God's way not only harmed their own lives, their own spiritual lives, but it led others who followed their bad example to spiritual ruin. So this will be the message we will be talking about today. So please, if you have your Bibles, turn them to Malachi chapter 2, verse 6 to 9. Will you please listen carefully as I recite our passage of study from the updated New American Standard Bible, which is the most literal translation of the Bible into our English language. The Bible says in chapter 2, verse 6, speaking about the true messenger of God, it says what? True instruction was in his mouth, and unrighteousness was not found on his lips. He walked with me in peace and uprightness, and he turned many back from iniquity. For the lips of a priest should preserve knowledge, and men should seek instruction from his mouth. For he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. But as for you, the contrast begins. But as for you, you have turned aside from the way. You have caused many to stumble. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi, says the Lord of hosts. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi by the instruction, says the Lord of hosts. So I also have made you despised and abased among all the people. just as you are not keeping my ways, but are showing partiality in the instruction. This is the word of God to the people of God. May the Lord add his blessing to the recital of his holy word. We have before us today a passage of scripture which can be accurately described or depicted as a passage of truth and turning. First of all, it is a passage of truth because it vividly focuses on the importance of teaching the law of truth. You see, a primary function of a godly priest or a true messenger of the Lord was to instruct God's people according to the moral law, which was based upon the truth. That is the truth of God. So the Bible is going to make it clear to us today that the godly priest of old taught God's truth and lived it out in their lives. And I think of one of the godly priests of the Bible, Ezra. He was not only the priest, but he was also a scribe. And the Bible says in Ezra chapter 7 verse 10 that Ezra set his heart to study the law of his God and to practice it and then to teach it. And what a ministry he had after the Jews returned from Babylonian captivity, which is also the story we are looking at. This story happened after the Jews returned from captivity. So they had one priest who lived out what we are going to study today. Second, it is a passage of turning because it visually features two kinds of turning. We are going to see two kinds of turning in this passage. Namely, a turning from sin to God and a turning aside from the way. That is the way of righteousness set before the priest. You see, as a result of teaching and living out God's truth in their own lives, the godly priest turned many back from their sin to God. Like Ezra, he led a revival in Israel. In contrast, as a result of showing partiality in the instruction and being a bad example, not only did the ungodly priests turn aside from the way themselves, but they also led others to follow them in turning aside from the way of God to spiritual ruin of their own lives. So these are the reasons why our passage of study today is a passage of truth on one hand and a passage of turning on the other hand. So having just whetted your spiritual appetite, please allow me to give you a brief overview of how the Holy Spirit has prepared me today to present his message to you from start to finish of our passage of study. First of all, we will emphasize what the Bible reveals about the characteristics of a true messenger of God in verses 6 to 7. Led by the Holy Spirit, Malachi, the prophet of God, continues his beautiful description of the true messenger of Yahweh. Malachi began his beautiful description of the true messenger of God in chapter 2, verse 5, where he laid down the first mark of a true messenger of God. There he says, that mark is reverence for God. Now, he adds marks or characteristics to help us identify what? The right leader to follow. So the question is, what are these characteristics? How important are these for identifying the true messengers or ministers of God today? Can we use the characteristics described in this message to identify those who are truly God's messengers today and those who are not? Well, with the help of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Scriptures, we will answer these pertinent questions in just a moment. Second, we will examine the Bible's teaching focusing on the charges leveled against the ungodly priests of Malachi's day in verse 8. What a contrast there was between the godly priests of Israel's early history and the godless and careless priests of Malachi's day. By false interpretation of the law and by their bad example, they not only corrupted themselves or corrupted the covenant of Levi, but they also, the Bible tells us, caused many to stumble. The question is, what does it mean to cause many to stumble? Does it mean just a temporary loss of balance? Like if you are walking and you nearly stumble? Or does it mean more than that? Well, with the assistance of the Spirit of God and the Scriptures of God, we will address these important questions in the course of our study. Then third and finally, we will elaborate on Yahweh's chastisement of the ungodly priest in verse 9. Without wasting time and without mincing words, the prophet of God speaking by the Spirit of God to the ungodly priest of his day moves quickly from the charges leveled against the ungodly priest to Yahweh's chastisement of them. You see, as the character and conduct of the priests of Malachi's day fell far short of God's holy and high standard, they were reminded that the priests of old were faithful to God's covenant with Levi. But now, they, the priests who have stepped into the shoes of their forefathers, have become utterly corrupt. As such, Yahweh in his chastisement of them will make them contemptible and base before all the people. Now the question is, can God, listen carefully, chastise ungodly leaders today who lead sincere and gullible men and women astray? Well, your guess is as good as mine. Well, having given you a concise overview of our passage of study, let's now dig deeper into it to discover the rich and relevant spiritual lessons the Holy Spirit is so delighted and desirous to impress upon our hearts in order to do what? His divine and distinguished work of molding and making genuine born-again believers more like Jesus Christ, who is our Creator, our chief cornerstone, our commander-in-chief, our champion, our counselor, our comforter, and our companion in this present life and in the life soon to come. We begin first of all by emphasizing his instruction, focusing on what? The characteristics of a true messenger of God in verses 6 to 7. How, listen carefully, do you know who is indeed a true messenger of God? How do I know? And how do you know that this is a true messenger of God? What are the characteristics or marks that set a minister apart as indeed true or from God? Well, led by the Spirit of God, the prophet of God, Malachi, concisely, clearly, and convincingly answers these questions for us in verses 6 to 7. So will you please listen very attentively to what the Bible now reveals to us as the characteristics of a true messenger of God. In verses 6 to 7, we find six characteristics or marks of a true messenger of God. In other words, in these verses, we are given a brief but brilliant portrait. If you want a portrait of a true messenger of God, here the Bible gives us a brief but brilliant portrait of a true minister of God. So, if you are ready, let's look at this for ourselves to prepare us to identify who is the right leader to follow, even in our day. The first mark of a true messenger of God is that he is, listen carefully, a committed teacher of the truth of God. Actually, in verse 5, which I briefly pointed to, Malachi gives us the first mark of a true minister, which is a proper relationship to God Almighty, which the prophet himself calls reverence for God. Reverence for God. He says in chapter 2, verse 5, my covenant, let me see, is that, yeah. My covenant with him was one of life and peace. And I gave them to him as an object of reverence. So he revered me and stood in awe of my name. That was the first characteristic. You see, without a proper relationship to God, one has no chance at all of being a true messenger of God. If I don't have a proper relationship with God, walking in revering my God, I cannot claim to be a true messenger of God. It doesn't matter how much I know of the Bible. If I do not have a saving, proper relationship with Jesus Christ, I am not a true messenger of God. So that is so critical. And Malachi laid that one as the first mark of a true messenger of God. But we have already looked at that in our previous message, so I'm not going to talk about it much. You see, Levi represents past faithfulness. That is a priest whose ministry fulfilled God's will in the life and work of priests, in contrast to the priest living and serving in Malachi's day. So this Levi is presented to us as the ideal true messenger of God. So if you please, you can make the first mark in verse 6, the second mark of a true messenger of God. But I'm going to teach it from first to 6 in verses 6 to 7. So will you please listen to what the Bible says of this first mark, which could be the second mark if we want to put it all together. It says what? True instruction was in his mouth. Literally this reads, law of truth was in his mouth. The Hebrew word translated law or instruction is what you all know very well, is Torah. Torah. Torah also means doctrine, a direction, a divine law or precept. The essential meaning of Torah is teaching. Whether it is the wise man who gently instructs his son, or God patiently teaching his people Israel. Torah became synonymous with the Pentateuch. What is the Pentateuch? Yeah, the first five books of Moses, or the first five books of the Bible. The Levitical priests were to teach the precepts of the law and follow its requirements as they teach themselves. In fact, in Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 8, they were called those who handled the law. Those who handled the law. What a privilege given to the priest. to handle the law, to handle the law of the Lord. Unfortunately, not all the Levitical priests handled the law the way God wanted them to handle it. Similarly, it's very unfortunate today that certain so-called pastors, preachers, ministers, messengers, teachers, and translators of the Bible are not handling God's truth the way God wants it to be handled. But thanks be to God for pastors and preachers, ministers, messengers, teachers, and translators of the Bible who are committed or who are committed teachers of the truth of God today. We thank God for those people. You see, the priesthood had the responsibility to instruct God's people. In other words, the people relied on the priest to provide what? True and unadulterated instruction. As such, their interpretation of the law was to be according to the strict standard of truth, not for selfish ends. Not at all for selfish ends. In fact, not only Malachi, but Leviticus and Deuteronomy all speak of the requirements to teach and make decisions according to the law of truth. When God gave the priest their responsibility, on top of that list is teaching his word to his people. This is because true instruction is a major responsibility of the priesthood. In Leviticus, which I mentioned to you, in chapter 10, verse 8 to 11, we read this. It's actually verse 10 to 11, but the context starts from verse 8. The Lord then spoke to Aaron. Who is Aaron? He's the first high priest, the first Levitical priest. The Lord spoke to Aaron, saying, "Do not drink wine or strong drink, neither you nor your sons with you, when you come into the tent of meeting." At the time, there was no temple. There was only a tent of meeting. And then he goes on to say, "So that you will not die. It is a perpetual statute throughout your generations, and so as to make a distinction between the holy and the profane, and between the unclean and the clean, and so as to teach," listen carefully, "so as to teach the sons of Israel all the statutes which the Lord has spoken to them through Moses." So they have the responsibility of teaching all the statutes that has been commanded through the prophet Moses. Then in Deuteronomy, the last book of Moses, as he was preparing to leave, he was giving this last instructions to the priests and the people. He says in Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse again 8, I begin from verse 8. "If any case is difficult for you to decide between one kind of homicide or another, between one kind of lawsuit or another, and between one kind of assault or another, being cases of dispute in your courts, then you shall arise and go up to the place which the Lord your God chooses." That will be Jerusalem later. "So you shall come to the Levitical priest," listen carefully, "or the judge which is in office in those days. And you shall inquire of them, and they will declare to you the verdict in the case. You shall do according to the terms of the verdict which they declare to you from that place which the Lord chooses. And you shall be careful to observe according to all that they teach you." Again, stressing the importance of teaching. And then it goes on to say, "According to the terms of the law which they teach you, and according to the verdict
which they tell you, you shall do. You shall not turn aside from the word which they declare to you to the right or to the left.
What a privilege given to these priests that their decisions would determine how other people live their lives according to the word of God. That was the responsibility given to the priests. So please listen, the true messenger of God teaches the truth of God. He's the one who carefully, who clearly, confidently, correctly, consistently, and convincingly teaches and presents messages that are based upon what? The truth of God. And I'm sad to say today that in some circles today, preaching and teaching have become a show. Not at all about sound doctrine. That is the defined truth or instruction that gives true believers a sound or sure footing in our world of shifting convictions. Commenting on this characteristic of a true messenger of God, Bible commentator and teacher James Boyce shares this challenging and convicting insight. Quote, "To speak the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth is a large assignment, were it not for the word of God, which it is the preacher's duty to proclaim. Left to ourselves, we could speak little but error, or at best, truth mixed with error. But when we proclaim God's word, we proclaim what is eternally truthful. Not only truth, not only true for a particular moment of history or a particular person, but true for all time and for all people. To proclaim that word is a great responsibility." Unquote. All this is to emphasize that a true messenger of God is a committed teacher of what? The truth of God. Well, the second mark of a true messenger of God given to us in verse 6 is that he is trustworthy in his character and conversation. The true minister of God is to be marked by what? God-like trustworthiness or trustworthy character and conversation. Notice the Bible says in the second part of verse 6, it says what? "And unrighteousness was not found on his lips." Now you all know that words reveal a lot about what's inside us. It tells a lot about what is hiding inside of us. It reveals whether we are trustworthy in our character or not. The Hebrew word translated unrighteousness is avla. Avla. It also means wrong, wickedness, dishonesty, depravity, or perverseness. It is actually the opposite of the Hebrew word translated true or truth. That is emeth. Emeth is truth in the Hebrew. It speaks of conduct which is not regulated by the law of God, but by selfishness or sinful self-interest. But the Bible says no such conduct was found in the life of the true messenger of God, being set as an example of the kind of leader for us to follow. This means he's trustworthy in his character. Please listen, a preacher, a pastor, a prophet, a minister, a missionary, a messenger, or a teacher and Bible translator who is full of himself, whose conduct and character is ruled by his sinful self-interest, cannot be a true and trustworthy messenger of God. Steer clear of them. The Bible is saying that there had been priests who had fervently, fearlessly, and faithfully presented the righteous revelation of God.
their character was trustworthy. They are the true messengers of God.
Well, third, a true messenger of God is characterized by a transforming, intimate fellowship with God. Notice the Bible adds in verse 6, and is building up. So after saying, he walked with me. And after saying, and unrighteousness was not found in his mouth, it adds up another characteristic and says, and he walked with me in peace and uprightness. All of this is only four words in the Hebrew. Be-shalom. Shalom. Be-shalom ubesh mishor halak ithi. Be-shalom ube mishor halak ithi. Halak means to walk. That was one of my first Hebrew verbs I learned when I was taking Hebrew in seminary. I would say, ish halak, the man is walking. I was so excited to know some Hebrew. Well, the expression walked with means more than physical walking. It indicates a more intimate fellowship with the Lord Almighty. Or walking, as it were, side by side of God Almighty. It includes a personal spiritual relationship with the Lord. This was the kind of walk Enoch had with God, such that he was not only transformed by God, but he was taken into heaven without ever tasting death. Directly, he was transformed and taken into heaven without ever tasting death. For most of us, if Jesus doesn't return, we are going to taste death. But not so with Enoch. He walked with God, and the Bible says, and he was not. Why? He was taken. He was transformed and taken into heaven. The messenger of God who walks with God, worships him, and lives in the will of God. The result being, he is transformed and is blessed with an intimate relationship, fellowship with God Almighty. No one who has truly walked, no believer who has truly walked with God is left the same. Show me a believer who is walking with God, and I'll show you someone, a believer who is being transformed by God as a result of his walk or her walk with God. That is how it is. To walk with God means that I'm going to be transformed. God is going to be doing a work in my heart day by day to make me more like him. The Bible also says he walks in peace. That is shalom and uprightness, mishor, which also means straightness. He walks straight with me. The word also means honesty, righteousness. You see, to be marked by a transforming, intimate fellowship with God means you are transparent and honest with God, and that you are willing to draw closer and closer to the heart of God. That is the kind of walk I want with God, to be drawing closer and closer to the heart of God. Well, the fourth mark of a true messenger of God is that of turning God's people from the way of sin to God. Notice the Bible adds to the marks or characteristic of a true messenger of God by saying, and he turned many back from iniquity. Please listen carefully now. The true messenger of God is a good example for God's people. I can't turn people back from iniquity if I'm not a good example for them. And you can't. How does God use his true messenger to turn his people from sin? Well, both by his voice and by his conduct, both by his life as well as by his lips. The true messenger of God, who walks with God, is used by God to turn many to righteousness. Your life matters, and what comes out of your lips also matters. Some people say, well, I don't care, I'll just say it. I don't care how I look. Well, God wants your life to match what your lips are saying, because that is when you are the best example for people to follow. And that is when I am a best example for people to follow. In other words, the Bible is saying, as a result of his exemplary godly life, many of God's people are led from sin to the fear or reverence of Yahweh. So please let this be clear to us. The Bible is not teaching here that the true messenger is turning people to himself to build a large following for himself. Well, that is what false messengers do, because life for them is all about themselves. Their whole goal is in ministry is to draw men and women after themselves to boost their ego. In fact, Paul prophesied of these false messengers in Acts chapter 20, verse 29 to 30. Just as he was going to Jerusalem, he invited the people, the elders of Ephesus, in a place called Miletus. And he gave them this parting words. He says in verse 29, I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves, men will arise, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them. They are not drawing the disciples after God, but after them. They are building a kingdom for themselves. But that is not what the true messenger of God does. He's not about building a large following for himself to feed his ego. Rather, through his faithful discharge of the duties of his calling, the true messenger of God brings many back from iniquity or guilt or sin. That is to say, to lead them back from the way of sin to the way of the fear of God, walking in reverence of holy God. So please listen, the right leader to follow is not the one who is full of himself, drawing people to himself. The right leader to follow is one who is selfless, directing people to God. The ultimate example of such a leader is none other than who? The Lord Jesus himself. But he has blessed his church today and in the past with leaders who are not interested in drawing people to themselves for the purpose of enhancing their ego and their kingdom. Well, the fifth characteristic of a true messenger of God is that he is a truthful preserver of the knowledge of God. Notice the Bible says in the first part of verse 7, for the lips of what? A priest should do what? Should preserve knowledge. This verse indicates the intended ministry of the priests in Israel. They were the regularly appointed teachers of the law of Moses to the nation. The people of Israel, as I said, depended on the priests, not just to teach the law, but to preserve it. You ask, what knowledge are they to preserve? Well, first of all, it is important to understand what preserving is all about. The Hebrew word translated preserve is shamar. It means to hedge around something as with thorns. To keep safe, to guard, to protect, to watch as a watchman of cattle or sheep. The first occurrence of shamar is in Genesis chapter 2 verse 15, which has the sense of tending or exercising great care over the garden. Remember when God created Adam, he put him in that garden and told him to keep the garden. That was the word used, shamar, to keep safe or to take great care of that. However, in a spiritual sense, shamar expresses the careful attention which was to be paid to the obligations of a covenant, to laws, or to statutes. So the true messenger is called to pay careful attention to knowledge. And that knowledge is da'af in the Hebrew, which is the knowledge of God's will as revealed in the law or the word of God, and for us today in the Bible. So the knowledge to be preserved is the knowledge of God, his will revealed in this book for you and for me. So please listen, a true messenger is a truthful preserver of the knowledge of God and of his will as revealed in the word of God. He will not twist it. If he twisted it, he's not preserving it. He will not try to make it say something God is not saying. He will not use it to tickle ears, itching ears of men and women, in order to draw a following to himself. But he will be truthful in preserving the knowledge of God's will as has been entrusted to him. Well, the sixth and final mark of a true messenger of God is that he is a treasure trove of seeking the lasting and life-changing truth of God. You see, when God brought the priest into that position of teaching his word, he wanted them to be a treasure trove. If people were thinking of, what did God say about this? He said, well, let's go to priest Abimelech. I just made up that name, but it's a Bible name. Let's go to priest Jehoiada. He has the answer for us. He's a treasure trove. You see, priests were appointed by God in part to set forth, to share, and to spread abroad the true knowledge of God and his will. In other words, not only were they to represent the people to God, but they were also responsible to represent God to the people. How do they represent God to the people? By teaching the law of Moses to the nation, or the word of God. That is to say, they are to be a treasure trove, that is a very good or rich source of seeking the lasting and life-changing truth of God. Please notice what the Bible says at the end of verse 7. It says, and men, or literally they, referring to both men and women, and they should seek instruction, that is Torah, from his mouth. For he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. So the Bible is saying, out of his mouth, people should seek what? Torah, law, that is instruction in the will of God, because he is the messenger of Yahweh Tsevaot, the Lord of hosts, or the Lord Almighty to the people. This means the priest, or the true messenger of God, must be a person who constantly nourishes himself on the words of faith and of sound doctrine. He must, in reliance on the Holy Spirit, saturate himself with the truth of God's will preserved in the Bible. He must feed reverently and regularly on the word of God to be what? A reliable treasure trove of seeking the lasting and life-changing truth of God. Actually, malak is the Hebrew word for messenger. When God is doing the sending, malak means someone who is sent or messenger. Malak may be an angel, That's why we have angels who are called messengers, a prophet, a priest, or a teacher. The general sense is an ambassador representing someone who sent him. Such a person carried a message or performed some other specific mission or represented the sender in official negotiations. In a number of Old Testament passages, the expression "the messenger of the Lord of hosts" refers to a messenger who himself is the very God. Remember the questions I asked you at the beginning? That two men were asked to take off their shoes. The person who was saying that was the very God, the Lord of hosts, to Moses and to Joshua. What a blessing that this title that is given to the very God is now given to the priest of God, the true messenger of God. So the point of all this is that no higher honor could have been given the priest than that similar voice should be applied to him. What a blessing it is for the true messenger of the Lord to be given the title which described the pre-incarnate Christ himself. Great is the honor which God has given the true messengers of the true messenger of God, who is a committed teacher of the truth of God, who is trustworthy in his character and conversation, who is marked by a transforming intimate relationship or fellowship with God, who turns God's people from the way of sin to God, who is a truthful preserver of the knowledge of God, and who is a treasure trove of seeking the lasting and life-changing truths of God. Has God blessed you with such a true messenger of his? Has God given you the privilege of sitting under the teaching of such a true messenger? Well, personally, whenever I'm preparing my message to receive a message, preparing myself to receive a message from God, based, of course, always and only on the Word of God, one of the things I ask God for is this. I say, Lord, I pray that true instruction will be found in my mouth and that I will preserve knowledge. And I had developed this prayer many years ago without deeply studying this passage. Now I'll add the other characteristics to it. Well, let's end the message here today because it's over time. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the privilege to learn today the true characteristics of the messengers you use to do your work. And I thank you for giving us privileges in our lives, in our journey, in our walk with you, to have people who are true messengers teaching us the way of God in truth. And Lord, I pray today for us that we will be made true messengers of yours in our time, in our day, to carry your message to a world that is dying and lost. Now I pronounce your blessing upon your people. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each one of us today, tomorrow, till we meet again. And all God's people said, Amen.